You want to start or you want me to?
Go for it.
Hello and welcome to the Picture Show with Austin and Phil Rude. I am Phil Rude. I'm the dad.
And I'm Austin Rude. I'm the son. Each week we watch a movie and then we get on mic and we talk about it. And this week we're going to talk about all the movies we've watched in this past season.
Season six.
It's been a big one.
This was our double feature season.
Yep.
Where we paired movies together, and it was kind of an experiment, and I think it was a pretty successful one.
It was.
I really enjoyed this season, and I don't, you know, there were some movies that I wasn't wild about, but I don't think we had a bad movie this season.
Yeah,
I think this is maybe one of our best seasons, movie-wise.
And I think as pairs, they also worked well. Which, like, I don't know if we want to get into that right away, but, like, you know, I just feel like it all kind of...
It worked out.
Yeah.
This was a successful experiment. And you wanna just refresh everybody what our double features were?
Yeah, why don't you start?
Okay. We started with our first double feature was Bullet Train, your pick, that I paired with Snowpiercer.
Right. And then you picked I, Tonya, and I paired it up with Can You Ever Forgive Me?
And then Baby Driver, which I paired with, I paired the Blues Brothers as a compliment to that.
Right. And then you gave us Inglourious Basterds, and I paired it with The Book Thief.
And then Babylon, I paired with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
And we ended out with Nope, which I paired with Super 8.
Super 8. Yeah, that... We landed on Super 8. Let's talk about real quick how many of our movies that we watched actually we almost could have interchanged double feature wise as far as like Babylon and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Inglourious Basterds and Nope and Super 8. They're all movies about movies.
They are, and if you even want to stretch that, I, Tonya, and Can You Ever Forgive Me is about media,
about,
and public perception.
Right. Show business to a certain, not so much on the Can You Ever Forgive Me, but it is about celebrity and...
how people perceive
right.
The artist versus the art. It's all under an umbrella theme.
There was a lot of stuff when you get to the end and when you look at a list like that and you go, oh, wow, a lot of that stuff actually... kind of goes other directions too, and you can even like the Blues Brothers is about show business, and
right. And Baby Driver, I mean,
Baby Driver, if music is front and center in that movie, it's almost like the actual star of the movie. And also, like, you can't have a conversation about Baby Driver without talking about canceled celebrities in Hollywood. So, I mean,
very true.
There just was a lot of, I think, really interesting, I want to say crossover, and then I want to say coincidence, but it's actually maybe just where our heads were at, that we were almost consistently picking these kinds of movies.
I think maybe it was a little line, like, you know? Subconscious, just like...
We are the algorithm.
Movies on the mind.
Like, we watch a movie about a movie, and then, like, that's what we kept feeding ourselves.
That's
over
right.
And over. But
Well, it's interesting, because you first pitched the idea for this season, and... We kind of went through a few different ideas, and one of them was that, like, you would pick, and then I would pick, and I would... So, rather than a double feature, it
would wasn't
just
a double
been...
feature, it was like a chain of...
Yeah.
Of one leads to the other, just to see, like... I was more interested in that and seeing, like, where we started versus where we ended up.
Yeah, like a game of telephone.
Right.
And that's almost what this double feature season kind of... became anyway.
Yeah, except we kind of stayed in the same pocket. We didn't...
Yeah, we did. It...
We did and we didn't. I'll say all of those movies are, I think, very different. Like, very different flavors of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, It wasn't like we were repeating the same take.
It was like we watched the same movie, like all nine versions of A Star Is Born or something like that. Right. You know?
Which, that could be its own season.
How many movies could we do that with where there's so many remakes that you actually could... I don't think you could ever fill out a full season. But there's a couple of things, I think, that probably have been made so many times that...
Do we want to do all 10 Fast and Furious movies?
No. No, we don't.
I don't even want to do one Fast and Furious movie.
I don't
want to
do a single Fast and Furious movie. I have not seen a single Fast and Furious movie. And I'm hoping to go to my grave still being able to say that. That will be on my tombstone.
I wish I could make the same claim.
Phil Rude, father, husband, brother, son, never watched a Fast and Furious movie. That would be the best tombstone.
He died doing what he loved.
Not watching Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious movies.
Anyway, I don't know where I was. Yeah, but all of these kind of have the same theme, except for, I would say, what we started out with.
Train movies.
Yeah, the capitalistic heist train movies, I feel like are very different than the other movies.
Yeah, the train movies, but also The Book Thief, not about Hollywood.
Right.
But it is about art.
Literature,
It is about the power Stories. Of art. It is still, like, semi-related, I think. I don't know. Maybe there is just more movies about that are talking about themes of art than we realized.
I mean, I do think that's very prevalent in all stories.
Sure.
Because the people telling stories are influenced by other stories. So it's like...
And media in general, when you talk about like Nope being about tabloid media... And things like that. I think the prevalence of media in our society today, with social media, with the 24-hour news.
We're bombarded all the time.
Right. You kind of can't help but talk about it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. And so, obviously, a lot of movies do that.
Right. And they, I think they have for a while. I watched, last year, I saw, and I had not seen it in a long time, is a James Bond movie from the early 90s called Tomorrow Never Dies, or late 90s, sorry.
Okay. Well,
Tomorrow Never Dies, one of the Pierce Brosnan movies. This movie gets kind of written off as one of the lesser Brosnan movies, but I liked it then. I always think, like, this is kind of unfairly maligned. Michelle Yeoh is in it, and she's
makes it great
fucking
already.
Awesome in it. But I think that movie is one of those that's aging really well because it's about the media controlling the narrative. Like the super Bond villain is a like media mogul, like a news mogul.
Oh, okay.
And he's plotting disasters that he already has headline, you know, like that's the mm-hmm. plot, but it is sort of like, oh, that's kind of where we are now. Like watch it now and you go, oh, wow, that's real. And he dresses like Steve Jobs, and, you know, he's basically
we've
like
been heading there
Rupert
a while,
Murdoch. But, so. Right, but I'm saying, like, this is a movie from 25 years ago that is, like, super relevant now.
That's
and,
cool
and,
that it
And
it
it's almost like,
it
kind
that.
Of like, wow, James Bond predicted this.
what is this, The Simpsons?
The tech media billionaire would be the bad. I mean, this was a long time before. You know, the world we live in now. So it's, yeah.
That's true. That's fair to say.
So, yeah, these kind of themes have been around for a while. And I think it's really, I think it's just really wild that we covered those many of them. Or this many of them. Those many of them.
We did not cover a grammar class.
No.
In this.
No. We does not do grammar. Well, let's just, what was a big standout to you?
A standout? That's tough.
I know that we're just talking about like, oh, these all were great movies, but
I think I'm gonna say Inglourious Basterds.
Excellent.
I kind of put off watching Quentin Tarantino for a while. Not out of, like, I don't hate the guy, but I just, I'm not a huge fanboy, so I kind of don't gravitate towards him.
I think he's one of those people where, and I am a Tarantino fan, so maybe I'm throwing myself under the bus, but you can kind of, like, see his fanatics, mm-hmm. and, like, go, oh, I'm not one of those guys. I won't like his stuff. Or the other thing with some directors that that were kind of like ahead of my time is I don't know where to start with it. Like Miyazaki's a one that I put off for a long, long time. Yeah. Because I'm like, people talk about him with such reverence that I was just sort of like, oh, this has to be like some high intellectual animation. It just is daunting. Kind of thing,
it,
you know,
like, it does seem intimidating.
So
with Quentin Tarantino, it's kind of like, this is a weird comparison, but like Taylor Swift, in that fans of The Thing yeah, yeah. are so obsessed with it. It's a masterpiece. It's the Mona Lisa.
It's the greatest. Yeah.
And then you listen to it and it's like, it's just Taylor Swift. But now I am kind of like, okay, I see what people are saying with Taylor Swift. Like she's not the greatest songwriter ever, but, you know, there's something there. I feel like it's the same with Quentin Tarantino.
Not
like,
the greatest songwriter ever?
I'm sorry.
Let me quote you some lyrics. We are never, ever, ever getting back together.
I think there's another ever in there.
Probably.
Anyways.
No, I know what you're saying. Like, it's there's a fervor around it that you're like, it's almost impenetrable.
I tend not to believe the hype.
But I am glad that this was kind of your first, your sort of, I wouldn't even classify this as like entry level Tarantino. I wouldn't recommend this as like somebody's first Tarantino movie.
That's fair. But I will say I have seen Django Unchained.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That was my first Tarantino. And I really liked that movie.
I love Django. Yeah. I love his Westerns. But I'm really glad that you liked this flavor of Tarantino, the alternate history, which Django mm-hmm. is as well.
Yeah, but this is more
this very
on
specific
a different level.
Thing, and that it is a very different flavor of war movie, and that you locked in with it. I think I was really happy, like we talked about in the episode that this is a movie that I love, and I like to share it with people, but. They don't always lock in with it the same way. And you really walked away from this with like, oh, this was really, really something.
You must be worried after like my reaction to Fight Club.
No, sometimes I do because movies that, you know what, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, if someone doesn't love something you love, sometimes we get like upset. And it's not that they're not entitled to their opinion, but like for me, when I share something that a movie that I really love with somebody, I am really hoping that they are like, oh, I get that, you know, like it's a connection point. I want to share something it's like giving a gift to somebody. You want them to be excited about the gift.
Right.
You know, like it's.
It makes total sense.
Yeah.
And that movie, Inglourious Basterds, really kind of like challenged what I thought Tarantino was. And then, sorry to say this, but Once Upon a Time in Hollywood
sure.
affirmed everything I thought Tarantino was.
Which is still not something I think he is throughout his whole filmography. I think that's a very personal, we talked about, like,
yeah.
you know, but you did kind of see, like, kind of the best, and I'm not even going to call Once Upon a Time, like, the worst, but it is a very,
call it the
it's
worst
a very
even.
Different movie for him, I think.
It's different, and, like, it also still showcases some cool stuff. I just,
right.
I didn't connect with the story, it was not, and that's
you
fine.
Know, it was not in the same way, yeah.
But yeah, that was a big standout for me. Did you have anything that kind of caught your eye?
Sure, the compliment to Inglourious Basterds, The Book Thief, I thought was, again, not a perfect movie like we talked about in the episode, but that movie I found really oddly moving. I really was sort of like emotionally affected by that movie
in a way
that I had never, ever expected to be. And I thought it was, one of those rare movies about Europeans in World War II that was actually managed to not... It's hard to say it's not a downer, but it's not a, like the heart of that movie is positive. It really did surprise me because I really didn't have any interest in watching that movie because I thought it was going to be something else, in the same way that you were like kind of not stoked about watching a Tarantino movie.
Right. I'm glad to hear you say that, because I kind of thought going in that you were going to walk away and be like, well, that was melodramatic. Like,
I mean, you know, that's kind of what I expect. That's a really good way of putting it, is kind of what I expected. But like we were just talking about, the number of movies that are made about media, and when a movie like this, and I know it's from a book, but it's the same kind of thing. These are like artists celebrating art and just doing it through this very specific story in a time and a place where art was under fire and things like right. that. And I love art. I love so many forms of art. I hate censorship of art of any kind. I think it just sort of hit a tone with me in that it told a story. It hit on a theme that is really important to me, but it did it in a smart way. It wasn't just like, burning books is bad. Instead, it shows you a book burning and a reluctant German family that's being bullied into participating in it when they don't believe. And it just sort of like the power of that book burning scene is incredible.
There's a lot of dimension to it.
For sure. Yeah. But that movie stood out to me also because it was one of the ones that I have not seen before.
Were there other ones you hadn't seen before?
This and Babylon and right. Bullet Train, I think, were the only three that were new to me.
Okay. Had you seen Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Yes.
Okay.
I had seen that one other time. And I did, like, that movie also stood out to me as, like, I think that movie is so interesting. I think that movie is really just it's just a wildly interesting, quiet movie.
You get sucked into, yeah. It's like a character piece.
I love a quiet movie that brings you in. Yeah. You know, they're not like, hey, come on in. They're like, yeah, we're cool. If you want to come in, that's cool.
What are they doing in there? You know what? I feel like that's what I loved about Phantom Thread. That's one of those movies that really sucked me in. And
Paul Thomas Anderson does that a lot. Quiet. I think that's what, it's not necessarily quiet, but There Will Be Blood is there's no dialogue in like the first 10 or 15 minutes of that movie.
That can be hypnotic, yeah.
All watching things unfold. And then there are a lot of, it goes from like bombastic and loud to like super quiet moments. And I think Paul Thomas Anderson is a master of drawing you in with the quiet moment.
We got to do more of his stuff.
I think so. I would love to do more Paul Thomas Anderson movies. I tend to really like his movies. And, I said it before, Boogie Nights is, you know, one of the best. It's hilarious. It's sad. It's tense. And Phantom Thread was another movie you brought here that I was just like, that's a oddly captivating movie.
This shouldn't be, you know,
it's like, I get it, Daniel Day-Lewis can, you know, work some magic, but it's like, good lord,
it's a big one. Let me see here's a good question. What was your favorite out of this lineup,
favorite
altogether, favorite movie, man. Or would you rather answer, what is your favorite pairing?
Okay. Boy, that one's hard, too.
it's not an easy answer, yeah.
I am going to say Inglourious Basterds and The Book Thief. I think, Many would say, you know, that's too much Nazi Germany. But I say, this is, I think it's a...
It's definitely bordering on too much Nazi Germany.
It's the boundaries of emotions that you can have while spending time in Nazi Germany. It's fun and action and anger and revenge to sadness and melancholy and inspiration. You know, like it's the full range. And I thought those are both just like insanely interesting movies. And movies that we both enjoyed, you know? So that's the pairing I'm gonna go with that one.
It's kind of, I feel like I almost like a history class could use these two movies. Like,
kind of, yeah.
One at the beginning of the semester, one at the end, you know, really like.
There's, there's, you have to give a lot of disclaimer if you're going to show Inglorious Bastards in a history class.
I'm thinking but, like a college history
but
class.
The idea of like, you know, the secret Jew living in France, you know, and trying to remain hidden in an occupied city. Like,
yeah, that's a,
you
that's
know,
a
that
thing.
With all the fiction of Inglorious Bastards, that was like
very
real thing. Yeah.
I think that's a good pairing.
How about you? What was your best pairing?
Okay, so I was thinking about this and I'm stumped between, I really like our first pairing of Bullet Train and Snowpiercer. I think like, just watching both of those movies together, there's a lot of action. There's a lot of fun. It's just like a fun time.
Right.
And I also like what we ended the season on, Nope and Super 8. Both of those, again, fun movies, but they were different enough in tone that I feel like we could watch both of those back to back and like full entertainment for like 4 hours. Like that would really, I feel like, some of these movies would like, okay, that's a drag if you were to watch all of this at once. But like, feel like that could sustain your attention really well.
Sure. And really, like we said, both about movies, but about really different kinds of people, you know, adult black people, white kids. Not that the demographics are the only thing that matter, but they're coming at these things. You know, one, kids are in a town. The adults, they're out on a ranch. It's just this very wide range of time and culture and setting.
Like different perspectives.
Right. And what the alien is. One is actually like aggressive and one is, misunderstood.
I'd say they're both misunderstood.
They're both aggressive and misunderstood.
One's a misunderstood predator. One's a misunderstood intelligent being.
Sure. That's a better way of putting it.
Sorry, alien expert here. No.
Aliens.
They built the pyramids. Not really. Please don't believe
that. Good call to Nope.
Yeah.
Let's take what movie had you seen that you were happy to revisit?
Baby Driver.
Yeah.
Well, I think I picked that one, so duh, I was happy to revisit it. But yeah, sure. I love Baby Driver. And that was really good. Also, Babylon. I did want to introduce you to that movie. The moment I saw it in theaters, I was like, Dad is going to
love... Yeah, you like texted me immediately.
Well, it's like a love letter to Hollywood. No, I get it. So I'm like, Dad's got to see
this. I get Babylon, and I... You know, in thinking about like the movies that stood out, it's like, yeah, Babylon did stand out to me. Like, I don't love it as much as you do, but there's no escape. Like, it's one of those movies that we watched it and like I get Babylon and I'm like, it's a good movie. It's a really good movie.
It's a little tedious, but it's a good movie.
I'll say it's a really good movie, but it's like, the weeks went on, and I will come back to thinking about Babylon or this aspect of Babylon. Like,
are you thinking about revisiting it?
Or, well, like, I will
process.
I will watch that movie at some point again. But it is just, it is kind of the processing thing. You're like, you know, the movie is really dense, and there's just so much going on that I would just be like, oh yeah. And then I always think about that shot of Lady Faye smoking the cigarette in drag.
Yeah.
Her introduction. I'm like, what a beautifully shot, beautiful shot that was. And
it's gorgeous.
And how much I love the honestly, the look of that movie is really, really good. Yeah.
That's good when a movie's so dense, it's still sinking in weeks after.
I don't want to give it short shrift on movies that stood out to me, because it obviously really did. I was just, I guess, in thinking about, like, what movie stood out to you when you watched it? It's like, oh, The Book Thief. But, like, what movie has stayed with you? Also The Book Thief, but also Babylon. Babylon just kind of, like, it's the jingle. It's the jingle that gets stuck in your head. So, Babylon.
It's an ear tune.
Yeah. Earworm.
There you go. That's what I meant.
We got there.
Was there something you wanted to revisit?
I'll tell you what, I was really excited to revisit The Blues Brothers because
That's fair.
I grew up with that movie and I had not seen it, honestly, in a lot of years. And no, coming back to something from your early childhood, it's never going to ring quite the same and you're going to look at it very differently. But I still had just a ton of fun with that movie and just kind of hearing all the music again. It was a bit of a nostalgia trip, but it was also just like, this movie's really fun. Even just seeing it through my today eyes, I was like, this movie's really fun. And it was another one that I was glad that you were like, this is silly, but I'm having a good time. Like, that you were able
to. I liked The Blues Brothers.
Enjoy that movie.
Can I be honest? I don't. You're giving me a look. No.
No. I don't mean to be giving you a look.
No. I liked Blues Brothers. I do happen to think that the Baby Driver Blues Brothers, like,
it's not the best match.
It's I think it's one of the weakest links in this season. Just as in terms of those movies pairing up, I see the connection though.
It was a very superficial connection, in the same way that putting Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Babylon together.
Right.
It was superficial, but, like, their tones didn't match at all. I didn't think it was a great pairing as far as, like, boy, would I watch both of these movies in one day? That would exhaust me, you know? Like, yeah.
But I see the connection, and you lent me the Blues Brothers vinyl record.
The vinyl record I have, yeah.
And I still haven't listened to it yet, but I'm excited to, because I...
Yeah, it's fun.
That is a movie that I've thought about, like, after we watched it. I'm like, man, just thinking of funny moments.
It's a silly little music movie, you know? Yeah. Like, but it's a good time. And I'll also, because I can never pick one, I'll also say I, Tonya. I've had I, Tonya, and it was cool to take it off the shelf and watch it for the first time in a few years. It's one of those movies where you don't think about it, and then you watch and you go, this movie's really put together well. This movie's really, like, just a well-done kind of biopic.
And great performances from, like, a lot of great actors.
We saw a lot of Margot Robbie this season. And,
that's right.
It's, like, that's a good thing. I think she's great.
And not to give anything away, but when that Barbie movie comes out...
Oh, my God.
I am gonna go watch it. And when it's on DVD, I am going to make you watch it.
Look.
Unless it's, like, horrible, and then I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm not going to put you through that. But
only because you won't want to watch it again.
Well, yeah.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, there is a Barbie movie already, and it's called Toy Story 3. Because...
You can't do better than that.
Because Ken in that movie is the greatest thing.
The dream house.
It's got a room just for trying on clothes.
And a working elevator?
I love Toy Story 3.
It's pretty great.
What are we down to here? Oh, was there something you had seen that you were disappointed to rewatch that you didn't want to come back?
I don't think so. I really don't think there was a single one that I was like, ooh, that's going to be...
I don't think I did either. I think everything that I had seen, I was happy to see again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you brought a few that were new to me, which I was pretty cool with. As a matter of fact, when you brought Can You Ever Forgive Me, I was happy to rewatch that, too, because I hadn't seen that in a long time.
That's good.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think we had a good crop of movies.
It was a really good time this season. I'll say maybe this one I was looking forward to watching again, Snowpiercer, but see, how do I say this? It was a good movie and a good experience watching it, but knowing the twists ahead of time kind of lessened the impact of it a little bit when I watched versus my expectations. But I didn't let that affect my review because I was like, this is still a really great movie and I enjoyed watching it nonetheless. Sure.
You're talking about like versus like your first time seeing it.
Yeah.
When he gets to the head and there's like a big monologue and... You know, the social, everything falls into place and you go, oh, yeah, this changes nothing. Like,
yeah. The first time watching that, it was like, what? It was like mind melting. Yeah,
what is this?
And this time it was like less of an impact, obviously, but it was still a good movie. Sure. So I don't want to fault it for that.
Snowpiercer, for me, is like almost a comfort food movie. Like every so often I'll just turn it on because I'm like, I love this movie. I love the tunnel fight and... Everything is
just a fun time.
It's just, yeah, it's good stuff.
To see, what's her name? Tilda Swiftlin.
Oh, Tilda Swinton?
Yeah, there we go.
Yep.
I had the right letters in there somewhere. Tilda Swinton,
Octavia Spencer. I mean, there's like a ton of great people in that movie.
There is. I just love her character, though. And yeah. She's all high and pompous. It's great.
She's the worst.
Have you changed any opinions since we've reviewed any of these or anything?
Not terribly, just I don't think I was hard on Babylon, but like I said, I think that movie is like sinking in with me a little bit more. And again, maybe I'll watch it again and be like, oh my God, this movie. and that has more to do with it being like 3 hours and a lot of kind of superfluous stuff, but the things that I like in that movie or things that I was unpacking, like the character arc of Brad Pitt's character and like the crazy Tobey Maguire stuff with the count.
Oh yeah, that was freaky.
You know, like just stuff like that. And then I think what added to that was also the conversation that we had where you kind of pointed out like, oh yeah, all the depravity between this point and this point went underground and became even, you know, and it's just mm-hmm. like, I think that's one of those cases where having a conversation about the movie kind of, you kind of tilted my perspective on it a little
helps
bit.
Helps make things make sense.
Like, I liked
the
movie, but then it's like, you kind of unlocked a couple things that I had just taken at face value. And I go, oh yeah, I hadn't considered like a deeper angle on this thing or a more thematic overview of it. And I think, I will definitely watch that movie again because I think you kind of have to start taking more out of it. You know what I mean?
Right. It took a while to sink in, and like I had a few month advantage.
Sure.
When we reviewed that, so.
How about you? Was there something that you've either softened on or, you know, in hindsight, you're like, you know what? That movie does suck.
You know what? I don't like Nope. No, I'm just kidding.
How dare you?
You're dead to me. No, I
podcast is over.
I really, A+ to all of these.
I mean, these are pretty solid, yeah.
I can't complain about any of them.
Do you have a least favorite movie, though?
Ooh, I think we all know what I'm going to pick. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Well, I'll pick one of yours. I think Bullet Train was the one that came up short for me.
Even with tangerine and lemon?
Sorry, I said it came up short. I didn't say it. I don't. Fair. You know, I just was not as enamored with that movie as I had hoped to be, I think.
It's a pretty surface level movie.
It's very surface level.
I have a fun time with it the same way I have a fun time with, like, Ocean's 8. Like,
sure.
It's just a good time, but it's not a real, like,
there's not much think to it. Piece. Yeah. There was some, you know, I liked, you know, Brad Pitt's character. I liked, I did like Tangerine and Lemon. It's just some of the stuff, even when they tried to kind of go a little bit deeper, I felt like they came up short in that movie. But
I see, you know, what you're saying.
I don't hate it. It's for somebody. It's like the, you know, it's like it's like John Wick. I'm not gonna burn it down for everybody else. It's just, for whatever reason, it just didn't quite work for me. And it's not, it's one of the things also, I can like look at John Wick and I can look at Bullet Train and go, I see what they're doing here. They're not failing at it. Like, it's just not locking in with me.
You know what's funny is, like, that's, like, it's almost like this new form of action movies. Like, because Bullet Train is made by the guy who did Deadpool 2.
Right.
Which he's, like, originally a stuntman. Yeah. And also, so is John Wick. So it's kind of like this new form of action movies that are highly based around stunts.
100%. Like, the Mission Impossible movies are all...
Yeah, that's what they became.
There's like a loose script, and then they just design stunts to be all the set pieces.
Yeah, it's just like Tom Cruise wanted to hang on the end of an airplane.
Yes, and that's exactly what it is. Him and Christopher McQuarrie, they're making fun ass movies.
Yeah,
like, those movies are really a good time, and it's just sort of like, okay, here's our MacGuffin.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's just set up a bunch of set pieces between him and the blasé list. Or whatever they, you know, it doesn't even matter.
Whatever you want to call it.
It doesn't matter at all. And it's just sort of like, and I think that's what Bullet Train is. I think that's what John Wick is. And it's not a knock on any of that. But I think you're exactly right. I think stuntmen are running the action blockbuster genre right now.
I'm gonna be honest. I kind of love it.
I love it. I love a storyteller behind it though. And
fair.
I don't know that that's their strongest suit. I think they can do it. Mm-hmm. I just would like to see some of that tightened up a little bit.
That's fair. I do really like, is it Brad Pitt in Bullet Train, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like his
character. Oh, I think his character is really fun.
This new, I'm turning over a new
leaf. He's trying to be like a peaceful hitman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
I'll tell you one, I think the same guys made it, or at least produced it, that's in that same vein is Nobody with Bob Odenkirk.
Hmm.
Have you seen that one?
I've not heard of that.
It's, again, I'm not going to tell you it's like the greatest thing ever, but it's fun. It's a really fun, like, action, fight choreographed movie. It's like he's a former hitman who's like now a suburban dad and hates his life and, you know, kind of gets reactivated into his old life and takes on like the Russian mob or something. It's just like,
okay.
It's That's a wild movie. It's really fun.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. Bob Odenkirk. He's great.
Better Call Saul.
You better call Saul. Yeah, I think that's about it. Which of us had the best batch of movies? We do this every time. But
I'm going to say we both did.
I really think so. I think this was a
team effort.
Exactly. This was a great collaboration. And man, I had a lot of fun with this season.
This was fun. I will say, I I am kind of looking forward to going back to the single movie.
The kind of free form.
Season, just because it frees us up to more options.
Oh, for sure.
I will say, but I loved this so much. Like, just coming up with, oh, what matches with this movie? And we watched Nope, and I was like, there are literally so many movies I could pair with this, because I could go with a Western or a sci-fi or a drama. And, like, I just kind of went by vibe. So, like, I feel like that was really fun. That was a fun part of this season.
Yeah, I think so, too. This was, I agree with you. I like that we kind of, we do a themed season generally every other season. So then we can get back to, because there were definitely some things that I would just think of and go, oh, man, I should do that on the show. And I go, oh, I got to wait till next season, which it's not terrible. I just make a note in my phone and I have some stuff planned that I think we're going to have a lot of fun with. I really liked doing this one, and it wasn't nearly as hard as I thought. I remember at the beginning thinking, like, man, you can really get stumped trying to think of, you know, what to pair with something.
I mean, you kind of can't go wrong, but if you can justify the pairing.
Seriously, like a lot of these movies we found, it's like, oh, you can go by this time period. You can just go another movie by this director. You can, you know, like Brad Pitt and Margot Robbie. That was half the reason I went with Once Upon a Time. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
It's kind of half our season was Brad Pitt. It
kind of was. But yeah, no, I thought this was really fun. I think we both had some great movies. I don't think I didn't drag through any of these. Nothing felt like a chore this season, except for a couple times we had a hard time nailing down a recording time.
That was more because I got a new job.
New job, and, you know, life happens. I think every season we hit some kind of life happens hiccup, and it's all good, but yeah.
It's part of doing, I mean, we take breaks, but we kind of record year-round with, you know, two seasons a year.
We take a couple months off, and this is no exception. I think we'll take most of the summer off. I'm planning on possibly, I think we'll do something over the summer. We'll pop back in and review something, and then Season 7, probably end of August, somewhere around there.
Sounds right, yeah.
We'll let you know the further we get into summer, the closer we get to the season when we have more plans for it. Big milestones coming up.
Did you want to talk about what episode we're nearing?
We are nearing our plans. We have plans to review something over the summer, which means when we come back for season 7, we'll be kicking off the season with our 100th episode.
Triple digits.
We made it. It'll be our 100th regular episode. We've done special episodes. We have other stuff.
We're
like at 110 or something, but, you know, it'll be our 100th regular episode.
Yeah. And that's something to celebrate.
I think it's something to make note of, for sure. Yeah, and we'll pick out something really fun for that one, I think.
It's going to be a boss of a time.
No, it won't.
No. It's going to be a pretty big boss, baby.
That is not happening.
Anyway, season 7, it's coming soon, folks. In August or
somewhere around there.
Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere around the fourth quarter.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Austin, do you want to throw out our email? We will be taking emails over the summer. Any thoughts you have? Any suggestions you have? I won't say we'll take your suggestions, but you're free to make them.
We'll hear them. Yeah, you can email us at... oh my goodness, I forgot the email.
Austin and Phil.
It's austinandphil@gmail.com. And like we said, you could send what you want us to review for season 7, or tell us what you thought of double features, and do you want that to come back in a future season?
Yeah, and who had the better movies, me or Austin?
You decide.
You decide.
Yep. Where else can people find us?
Letterboxd. It is Austin N. Rude is you on Letterboxd. And right. Phil Rude on Letterboxd is me. Mm-hmm. We keep lists of what we're watching. I have a list of everything we've watched for the show. And you can see our reviews.
Yeah.
Letterboxd is really fun. I'm kind of enjoying it the more I'm on there. Just sometimes I'll just read random reviews of a movie.
Yeah, it's fun to look up a random one and just see.
I think there's some really funny people writing reviews over on Letterboxd.
I just watched Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Did you really?
Yeah, and I watched the second movie and the holiday special before that. So if you want kind of my overview of the Guardians franchise, you can check it out on Letterboxd. Right. There's reviews.
Really good. Sucks. Haven't seen it. That's my overview of the Guardians franchise.
I think it's the most, like, consistent MCU, trilogy.
Oh, I thought 2 was a real slog. But I really like the first one, minus the ending. And I've heard really good things about the third one.
The third one is great. It's very emotional, very impactful.
Does he get a new mixtape?
No comment.
Ooh. No spoilers from Austin.
That's right. You'll have to see it to find out.
All right. Well, maybe we'll do that over the summer. Austin, do you want to read the credits?
Yeah. We did it all ourselves.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you have it. We'll see you next season on The Picture Show.
See ya.